Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
If this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of his people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, the king of Judah. They shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Read that again. That's a little confusing. Go up, their hearts go up at Jerusalem. Then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even to unto Rehoboam, king of Judah. And they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. It makes no sense, does it?
Jeroboam was saying, more or less, or what I'm saying is, he's saying he's going to get left aside.
The R's and the J's.
Gotcha. Yeah.
I totally lost the I was transfixing the two names right there.
Right.
Wow. Thank you, sir.
Hold ready.
Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, "It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." Oh, boy. Whereupon the king took counsel, probably of those young hoodlums, and made two calves of gold, and said unto them, "You shall have no gods before me." And said unto them, "It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods right here." We just got them out of the furnace. "O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." And he set the one in Bethel and the other in Dan. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship for the one even unto Dan. And he made a house of high places and made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi. Okay, so he's trying to establish religion without God. Most religion is without God. God does not like religion. He sees that Judah has a fairly righteous king, and he is the king of what's left of Israel, the 10 tribes. And he sets up these two calves, and he puts this thing on the internet. Mm-hmm. Says, $19 ordained priest. Yes, fill in the little card here.
We'll print it out.
Click. Print out your certificate.
You're ordained.
Yes. Come to one of the golden calves. Now, Jeroboam ordained a feast in the 8th month on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah. And he offered upon the altar, so did he in Bethel, sacrificing unto the calves that he had made. And he placed in Bethel the priest of the high places which he had made. So, his advertisement on the internet went well. He got a whole legion of priests. Mm-hmm. And he installed them. So he offered upon the altar which he had made in Bethel the 15th day of the 8th month, even in the month which he had made, devised of his own heart.
He's making it up as you go along. He's
basically established his own religion here. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And ordained a feast unto the children of Israel, and he offered upon the altar and burnt incense. So we got us a cult here in the midst of the 10 tribes of Judah, the single tribe of Judah, still following God because God promised that a line of David would always be on the throne, but things got so excessive that he only kept Judah. And there's a reason for that, because the line of Christ will come from there. Chapter 13, Between the Lines with David and Jonathan on WVFF 97.7. Behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, "O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name. And upon thee shall he offer the priest of the high places that burn incense upon thee. And men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. Remember that. There's going to be an interesting story when a prophet comes to bring the word of the Lord, and another prophet beguiles him, tells him lies, ends up costing the prophet his life. It's an interesting story. Just remember that. Behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by the name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places. He's gonna wipe them out that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. That is in 2 Kings 23:17-18. If you want to go there and just fill in the lines right now, we're going to go ahead and continue in chapter 13. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is a sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. It came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, lay hold on him. And his hand, which he put forth against him, dried up. Wow. The king points his hand and says, get that man, and his hand withers away. Amazing power of God. God is so done with these people. And they don't have a Moses to fall on their face and ask forgiveness. Poor Moses. He must have his nose broke a dozen times falling on his face quickly.
Yeah, him and Aaron both, right?
Yeah. So that he could not pull it in again to him. The altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, entreat now the face of the Lord thy God and pray for me. So, yes, I just told him to kill you, but look what happened to my hand. Please ask God to fix it. Christian, how many times do you wait till you're in the muck and the mire to cry out to God? Oh, God, please, no. Don't let this thing that's already happening happen. Fine time to ask, right?
Yep.
That my hand may be restored me again. And the man God besought the Lord, and the king's hand would restore him again, and became as it was before. Okay, so if that just happened to you, Jonathan, would that not cause your heart to turn toward God?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Because, I mean, the person that you just instructed the people to go out and harm literally forgave you and had you healed.
Ask God to heal you.
Yeah, ask God.
And you've just seen the power of the Almighty God.
Right. But, yeah, that would be a definite turning point.
Yeah. And the king said, but what's the one key here? God has intended this.
Mm-hmm.
And you, once you get into that spot and God points you in a direction, it's like Saul. Saul was anointed of God. His heart followed after God. He is in God's kingdom today, but he took it to a point where God says, this is the road you're going to go down. I don't care how bad you want to turn back at this point. You're going down this road. You will pay for the sins in this flesh, and you will die. And the king said unto the man of God, come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. The man of God said unto the king, if thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go with thee. I don't even want to be seen with you. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so was it charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So he went another way and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. Now here's the rest of the story. And then you'll see the conclusion of the story in 2 Kings 23:17-18 that I told you about earlier. So the prophet was sent, and God specifically said to him, it was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. Don't even go back the same way you came. So he went another way and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. The words which he had spoken unto the king, them they told also to their father. So this is an old, kind of retired prophet. You know, he's kind of not in the limelight anymore. He doesn't have the miracles coming through him and the oracle or any of his wisdom being spoken by God through him. And his sons come and tell him this entire story. And their father was said unto them, what way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his sons, saddle me an ass. I have an idea. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon, and went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. And he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water for thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. God told me the whole time I'm on this mission, I'm not to eat bread nor drink water, and not to return the same way I came, so I am not going to do it. He said unto him, I am a prophet also, as thou art. Yeah, much older than you too, probably much wiser. And an angel, there's no capital on that or anything. Mm-mm. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he had lied unto him. The man, the prophet, the old prophet was lying to this man. And this is a great lesson in doing what God tells you to do exactly the way he tells you to do. Because if he says do this and this, and you do it differently or you don't do it, you're sinning. And you pay for your sins in this flesh. So he went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drank water. So God had directly delivered the directions to the prophet. And then another guy comes and says, hey, yeah, I'm a prophet too. And, you know, an angel appeared to me and told me to come and tell you something else. That's secondhand information. I would rather get my information directly from God and follow it. But you know what? The flesh is crying out for water. The flesh is crying out for food. And the way home, obviously, is the straight path from which you came. It takes a little longer to get home going around about. So this prophet is not fully in control. The spirit man is not fully in control. Yes, God will use you even though your heart is not 100%, because none of us keep it at 100%. I just hope every day I wake up at 51 and can build from there. It came to pass as they sat at the table that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee. Now this is coming out of the mouth of the prophet that deceived him. Mm-hmm. God is using him to pronounce judgment. He used him for temptation. Now he's using him for judgment. But camest back and hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place of which the Lord did say to thee, eat no bread and drink no water. Thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy fathers. Disgraceful not to be buried with your fathers. And it came to pass after he had eaten the bread and after he had drunk that he saddled for him the ass. Nice of him to do that for him after the grief that he's caused him for no reason. Mm-hmm. But it was orchestrated by God. To wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him, and his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it. The lion also stood by the carcass. Interesting scenario there. Lion standing on one side of the dead body, mm-hmm. and the ass on the other. Mm-hmm. Lion has no interest in the donkey. He came there for a purpose specified by God. Behold, men passed by and saw the carcass cast in the way, and the lion standing by the carcass. They came and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. And when the prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, It is the man of God who was disobedient unto the word of the Lord. So he knows. Who was disobedient unto the word of the Lord. Therefore the Lord hath delivered him unto the lion, which hath torn him and slain him, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake unto him. And he spake to his son, saying, Saddle me an ass. For they saddled him. So he feels sorry for him because he was involved in it. Not necessarily by his own choices. We see God guiding men's lives in this book all the time. And he went and found his carcass cast in the way, and the ass and the lion standing by the carcass still. The lion had not eaten the carcass, nor tore the ass. And the prophet took up the carcass of the man of God, and laid it upon the ass, and brought it back. And the old prophet came to the city to mourn and to bury him. And he laid his carcass in his own grave, and they mourned over him, saying, Alas, my brother! Oh, why didn't you just obey God? Came to pass after he had buried him that he spake to his son, saying, When I am dead, then bury me in the sepulchre wherein the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones. For the saying which he cried by the word of the Lord against the altar of Bethel, and against all the houses of the high places which are in the cities of Samaria, shall surely come to pass. After this thing Jeroboam returned, not from his evil way, but made again of the lowest of the people priests of the high places. So he just seen the power of God in his hand withering away and it being healed right in front of his eyes. And he continues with his self-made religion. And we know religion will land you in bondage and hell. And he consecrated him and he became one of the priests of the high places. Oh, it's the lowest of the people. Going out to the alleyways, getting the homeless. Not that homeless people are bad, but a priest must be educated in the ways of God. Priest must be a substantial person in the community, of good character. He's just packing the priesthood with anybody and everybody that wants to click on and get their certificate. Mm-hmm. And he became one of the priests of the high places, and this thing became sin under the house of Jeroboam, even to cut it off and to destroy it from off the face of the earth. Now remember, this prophet has been buried. And sometime later, a good while later, the prophecy that he spoke of in chapter 13. Go to 2 Kings 23. 17, 18, read the rest of the story. The prophecy that he spoke of will come to pass and it will be remembered and something good will be done for him. Been good to be with you here on Between the Lines with David and Jonathan on WBFF 97.7. Having some fun in 1 Kings today. You know what? You don't have to be stately and subdued when you read God's word. God is the God of joy and love. Have a good time. There is power in this book. Power of joy. Power of shame. Power of heartache. Grab onto it and get the portions that you need. And we'll catch you next time on WBFF 97.7. Catch up. Please, I dare you to go and listen to episode 1 on WBFFradio.com. We'll see you later.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan, exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.